All right, welcome to a Friday edition of 7 Minutes of Saints. Andrew, we're making this one free for the people that can try it out. And if they want it next week, they should pay $7. It's only $7 a month. And, hey, if you pay $7 a month before free agency starts on March 13th, we will send you a sweet-ass Saints Happy Hour podcast magnet. People love them. It'll be the talk of your refrigerator in your kitchen if you have a sweet, sweet Saints Happy Hour magnet. So, Andrew, today I wanted to discuss what me and you discussed in our one of many phone calls that we have about the Saints almost every day, it seems like. You brought up a great point that you think it's going to be really, really hard for the 2019 Saints to get better for a myriad of reasons. One is just it's hard to improve on 13-2 and a forfeit, right? It's going to be – even if you had a bunch of assets and cap space and all that, it'd be hard to get better than 13-3, right? So explain to the people why, that aside, you think it's going to be really hard for Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton to get this roster better.
Yeah, so I just think this is an interesting offseason and unique in some ways. Obviously the Saints want to get better, and, we talk all the time about how you hear Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis say they want to blow the door open, and while the window of opportunity is there, they want to be aggressive, they want to take risks, and they want to do whatever they can to try to go for it, which is what I feel like they did last offseason. And they gave up a first round, a third round, and a fourth round pick. The first went to Davenport, the third went to Bridgewater, and the fourth went to Apple. So they gave up three picks, and, they dabbled in free agency a good bit, added a number of players, moved some money around financially, paid Bridgewater more to lower his cap number, and so he had a phantom deal. And
We're going to be paying Bridgewater until like 2025.
Right, so they diverted all this cap stuff, but so now I feel like they, A, don't have assets in terms of the draft this year, and their cap space is a little limited. Now, we know they're still going to find ways to get cap space. I mean, Mickey Loomis will do his magic. They'll move some money around. They'll redo some contracts. They'll pay bonuses to some guys to, financially be in a place where they can make a run in free agency. But I actually think this offseason now, you mentioned, well, they don't have to be so aggressive this year because the roster is so good, but I just feel like the minute you get stagnant with your talent, the regression in the NFL is quick. It's swift.
Yeah,
and can sometimes be pretty ugly.
And look, this is a point that Ian, a buddy of ours, and he goes on Nick Underhill's podcast. I was listening to them, and he made a great point of like, look, it got swept under the rug that the Saints cut a bunch of draft picks last year, but this year they need a running back if Mark Ingram leaves, right? They desperately need a backup offensive tackle. Well, last year they drafted Boston Scott and they cut him. They drafted Rick Leonard way higher than anybody thought he should be drafted, and they cut him, and they need to fill those two spots. So, like, when you miss on a bunch of draft picks, even if they're later in rounds, like, it catches up to you, and it catches up to you fast. And here's the thing also that I was thinking about the offseason. We joke about the YOLO offseason. And people, when we think about the YOLO offseason, we think about free agency and the draft, right? The Saints sort of went YOLO, but they did it sort of quietly last year in that, they, like you said, they made some moves in free agency, but it wasn't like huge, seeming like all-in moves. And on draft day, yeah, they traded up for Davenport. They gave up the first for next year. But they did a lot of YOLO stuff in the season. Like, they gave up the third for Bridgewater. They gave up the fourth for Eli Apple. And suddenly, you're in December, and you're like, oh, fuck, they don't have three of their top four picks, and they don't have any cap space. We kind of went YOLO, just as big as the Rams did. And it kind of like it snuck up on you quietly because it wasn't all at once like the Rams did, right? It was sort of a general process. But my thing is, Andrew, is Loomis, he can create cap space easily, or he could mortgage the 2020 assets. But they're not going to do both. Like Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton, they may want to win, but they're in for the long haul, especially Mickey Loomis. Like, he's going to be running the Saints. He might be running the Saints into close to 2030, right? So he's not – so they can't do both. So I guess if they're – if you're Mickey Loomis and you're like, look, we want to go at this one more time, but we're not going to do – we're not going to blow out our cap, and we're not going to trade 2020 assets. What do you think his path may be to try to get the roster better? Because they're so close, and they got fucked. And, like, it's the temptation to do something for the Saints is just going to be too strong. They're going to do something. My question to you is, what path do you think Loomis will take to try to do it?
Yeah, I just think I think it would be retaining the players they have. So, you know, doing what they can to keep Davison and Ingram and Bridgewater, and basically just saying we believe in the team we have. You know, we were one bad call away from being in the Super Bowl, and, you know, we're going to trust that at least this year we don't have to add a bunch of new talent, that we're good enough to win with what we have. And so, you know, maybe they feel like, you know, we're better offensive line help and maybe one tight end away from being a better team this year. You know, and so, I mean, you remember the offseason where they poured all their money into Jarris Bird. I mean, they put all their eggs in that basket, and at that time, the Saints mistakenly felt like they were one player away from being a Super Bowl team. So, you know, I think they're back at that place. Now, last time they were wrong. I think this time there's maybe reasons to believe there's more merit to it. But I think, you know, they may feel like, hey, we don't need to do a ton in the offseason. We just need to keep the guys we have. Now, I think long-term, the fallacy of that line of thinking is that you constantly need to be restocking with youthful talent. If you continue to skip years where you're not bringing youthful talent into the building, then you're not developing younger players, and I think that comes back to bite you.
And that's gonna they're gonna be on that cycle for 2 years in a row, because last year they cut four draft picks, and this year they have no picks, so they're gonna have a gigantic 2 year hole. And to me, I wouldn't mind if they said, look, and they go into free agency, and Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis are like, look, we need a receiver and a tight end, and that's what we need. And they do cap shenanigans and Loomis math, and they bring in, say they bring in Jared Cook, and they bring in Adam Humphries or Golden Tate, and they move around cap, and one of those guys is $8 million a year, and one of them is $10 million, and they jerry-rig the cap again. Like, that wouldn't bother me, and I would be for that. The thing that I really, really don't want them to do, like, they can't burn 2020 assets. They just, like, you can't have three straight years of no drafts. It will cripple you in a way that you think it's fine now, but when you're in the middle, like, it's just, like, that's too much of a risk. Like, because the salary cap, right, Andrew? Like, if they do a bunch of stuff for the salary cap this year and win a Super Bowl, and then they're in a salary cap mess in 1 or 2 years, like, at least in theory, you can be like, okay, we'll just draft a bunch of dudes and we'll hit on the young players, and even though we're in kind of cap hell, the young players will carry us through. Like, if they have no assets in 2020, like, that fucks them 2021 and 2022, where it may not be fixable, and they may be horrible. So I just think that's a risk that I don't want them to take. If they want to go YOLO with Loomis math, I support it. It's fun. You know me. But I just think trading assets is bad. On the flip side, I say that I'm all in for Antonio Brown just because I want the circus, but only if his market collapses, right? But you think –
I just think you look at what they did last offseason, just all of last year. And I think we both supported it because it was like, yes, let's go win a Super Bowl. I think looking back, I think any Saints fan, anyone listening to this podcast would feel the same way. We all feel like, hey, that was the Saints' chance, and they had to go for it. And it didn't work out, you know, and they came very close. But in the end, it didn't work out. And I could be wrong, man, but I worry that that was a one-year YOLO. I mean, when you talk about YOLO, it really is kind of all in. You're putting all your chips in the end of the table.
Yeah.
and you bet it all on black and red hit, and so now you're out of cash. And so this could be – that could be the end, the beginning of the end, you know.
Well,
and
I will say this. The Eli Apple trade was outstanding because they got him – they get him for two more years this year, and they can pick up his option in May for 2020. So a fourth-round pick – for even if he regresses just a little bit and he's an average to below average corner, like you would do that in the fourth round pick every single goddamn time for 2.5 years of an average starting corner every single time. So it wasn't like they blew it all and it's not a return investment. And hey, they could re-sign Teddy Bridgewater and to long term, and then you look at this draft and you're like, hey, 2019, yeah, they burned assets, but you got Davenport, you got Teddy Bridgewater, your quarterback of the future, and you got a corner. So, like, then you look at it and you're like, that's not too bad, is it? So, I mean, in that sense, it's not.
But Bridgewater is the big one for me. You know, if they lose him this offseason and they're without a third-round pick, to me, giving up a third-round pick for – a guy that is not your quarterback of the future, that is just a one-year rental, that isn't even playing.
The dances were phenomenal.
The dances were nice.
No, you're right, though. Look, we'll get into Bridgewater all off-season, but this week, the Eagles, they didn't franchise Nick Foles. Flacco went to Denver. I just think the paths for Teddy Bridgewater to get a starting gig are closing off because Nick Foles is going to be the number one guy. He's going to land at either Jacksonville or Washington or Miami, whoever.
We need Case Keenum to demand his release. That's the next step. If you're rooting for Bridgewater to stay in New Orleans, then you know, Case Keenum. Elway's come out and said, obviously we can't pay Keenum what he's making now, but we'd like to keep him. So, you know, basically putting the ball in his court of either demanding a trade or a release, that needs to happen, I think, because Keenum's another guy that I think would maybe bump Bridgewater down.
Yeah, and then for Bridgewater it becomes return to the Saints or go to Washington. And, yeah, you would say, well, he would want to be a starting quarterback. But if he's like, I'll roll the dice with the Saints. And the thing is for Bridgewater, too, is he's going to roll the dice with the Saints on a one-year deal and – think to himself, look at it, he can think this way, look, I'll make $5 million at the Saints, I'll be a year in the system, I'll play a ton in the preseason, because Brees is only going to start like one game, right, he's not playing at all. Bridgewater could be like, I'm going to play in the preseason, and I'll look better, and, you know, Bridgewater is like two preseason, you know, he could sign a one-year deal with the Saints for $5 million, he's two really good preseason starts to making a shit ton the next off season, and he's only 26, so it's not like he's old. So,
I'm gonna go a step further. He is two good preseason starts away from getting the Saints a first round pick at the trade deadline.
That would be bananas, because that's like a whole other podcast. We'll talk about it now. That's banana. Like, say the Saints at the trade deadline are rocking it. And some team comes along in the AFC, right?
Some starter gets hurt and the team's in the playoff hunt.
Yeah, like I don't know, like Cleveland or Denver. You know, Denver, they got Flacco and they're rocking and rolling and they're doing really well. And they're like, oh, he's out for the year. Well, screw it. We want to, you know, this is our time. We want a quarterback. And they offer a first-round pick. And you're the Saints, man. And you're thinking, like, Teddy Bridgewater might be your future. But they just offered you a one at the deadline. Like, that's and you know Brees is probably walking out the door because you're like 7-1 and he's not going to play forever. Like, that's a hard fucking call. I mean, if he looked really good in the preseason, Andrew, I might say no to that. I know that's crazy, but I mean, Brees is going to be done. It's this year or next year. Like, Brees is done.
Yeah.
So, what would you do if Denver called you up and they were like, at the deadline, I guess the deadline, you'd be like the deadline. The Saints were like 5-6-1. So Denver's like 4-2, and they're
depends
like,
on it depends on his contract. But if he has a if he has a 1-year deal, then I do it.
Yeah, It's hard. I mean, it's this off season for the Saints. It's going to be really interesting. The Saints historically, have they had a year under Loomis and Peyton where they haven't done stuff right out the gate?
No.
I mean,
absolutely not.
So I mean, they're gonna do stuff right out the gate. And you know, 2 years ago, they did stuff right out the gate, and it was Warford and Ted Ginn and Luke Kuechly, you know. So and the Kuechly,
what do you mean, Kuechly? You mean AJ Klein?
I mean AJ Klein. Yeah, they did.
I wish we had Kuechly.
It's very Kuechly, right? So they can do stuff out of the gate. That isn't pricey. Like, I could see them being like, we want, like, not a bargain bin tight end, but, like, a discount, like, TJ Maxx price tight end, right? So, like, it's, like, 2 years, $5 million, and it's, like, boom, right out the gate, they do it. Because, you know, I think they're going to do moves. I also think they're going to get a receiver. Like, they can't look at the NFC Championship game and how the offense was the back half of the year and think, like, offensive line health is going to cure everything. Like, am I crazy to think that before we get out of here?
Yeah, no, you're not crazy. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to do something. But like we said before, if you sign up for 7 Minutes of Saints before free agency starts on March 13th, you'll get a free magnet. Do it now. It's awesome. We hope you enjoyed the Freebie Friday. We'll see you Monday.